independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
When you are given immunity, that means that you've probably committed a crime.
That's all we need to hear. General Mike Flynn right there, former security advisor. What was the Jim Kennedy, like 2 weeks? Is that, how long was he on the job?
Yeah, about that long. I mean, he never got close to even being confirmed. But.
Well, they don't have to, right? He's an advisor. He never has to be confirmed.
Right. Sorry,
they just said, hey, you get this job here.
Yeah,
and we're not even going to vet you because we don't care because I'm above that. Jim Kennedy joins me on this beautiful Friday from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. He's right, though. You know, if four or five people commit a crime and they're looking for you, that first one in's going to get a really good deal. And when he's asking for immunity and his lawyers are saying he's got a story to tell, there's something going on.
Absolutely. It's the old prisoner's dilemma. The person that makes the deal first is the person that is the one that is going to get the best deal. So whoever talks first usually wins.
So what could be here? This is me. I think that Manafort maybe had his hand in a cookie jar. I think Stone maybe have a hand in a cookie jar. I think Flynn seems to be, he had his hand in a lot of cookie jars, writing op-ed pieces, this, that, and the other, taking money from Turkey and here, there, and everywhere. I don't think it goes up to Trump, but I think it undermines what he's trying to do, and I think it's just the optics aren't very good.
No, I don't think they are at all, though it could be something very interesting. It could be something even more bizarre than that. What if it's something like, because Mike Flynn ran the NSA. What if he was part of a group, or what if he was part of a group where Obama was wiretapping Trump, like they were talking about, or his group was surveilling Trump in the campaign, they were passing it on to Hillary? What if it's something like that, rather than something that's actually Trump-focused? Maybe it's something that's Obama-focused from his time at the NSA.
Again, that's a possibility. I mean, you don't know. The whole thing is interesting. The whole thing is interesting. But when you ask for immunity, that usually means you probably did something wrong, and you're CYA-ing yourself.
And if he was doing it, and if he allowed them as the head of the NSA to do domestic surveillance, that's wrong. And to pass that information on to Hillary's campaign was even wronger. So he would have his hand where he could be looked at being a criminal, or he could be charged with a crime for that because he allowed that to happen. Maybe that's not what it is, but, you know, till we really know, we can sit here and have conjecture all day long.
Well, we like doing that. That's part of who we are as a people. Talking to Jim Kennedy from Canadian Institute of Public Policy Research. All right, so we move on from there. And Jim, I said something last hour. We've all said we want to see Washington change. There's got to be a difference. There's got to be, and we wanted to see a business person there. And we got the guy that had the breakthrough, and he took it in a much different way, and he broke through, and he is now the president. But the one thing that we forgot about is he ran a private business. Private businesses, the buck stops with him. He didn't have shareholders. He didn't have board meetings that mattered, where they were going to say, you're not doing this. It was always his name on everything. And I think he's realizing it's a struggle. It is much harder than he thought it was going to be.
Right. But remember, for many years, when not early on, but in the 90s, he ran a lot of financial problems. Remember, he filed 3 times corporate bankruptcy. And he's had banks on his tail and banks overseeing him and calling shots on him. So he is used to having that happen. And he's had banks on his board because when they worked out the debt, they've gotten their positions and sat there because of the people that own the debt. So he has had people that are outsiders on his boards, and he's had banks, making sure that he was, cash flowing exactly as he was projecting going forward. So he's had some sort of that oversight. But the type of oversight you're talking about politically, and the fact the swamp that is D.C. and that it runs in and of itself, it's a bureaucracy that's self-serving. Correct. And he said he was going to drain the swamp. But yeah, I mean, look at Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter came in as a outsider, though he was a politician. Plains, Georgia, not exactly the big leagues, and just basically got decimated by it. He just got nothing done because he just kept running into this bureaucracy that was self-governing itself in D.C., and this has been 40 years.
Did he have a misstep by not bringing somebody on early in the transition and kept them on? Somebody who is that swamp monster in D.C., a Newt Gingrich type, who knows how to get deals done, who understands the because it is a different animal. It is a different beast. And I have said this, and I've said this since day one. These people, Republicans and Democrats, look at him as a part-timer. We own, you rent, understand that. We're going to be here for 30, 40 years. You're going to be here for 4 years, maybe 8. So did he have a misstep by not bringing somebody on who, at least early on, I mean, we're almost through this 100 days, where he didn't have somebody who could navigate those nasty, treacherous waters in D.C.?
I don't think so. I mean, Mike Pence is a pretty well-respected guy in D.C. He did his term, he did his time there along with being a governor after that. And he was, and he's also got, you know, he had Christie advising him for a while. Newt advises him a lot, I'm fairly sure, even though he's not got an official title. He was very influential on dealing with Trump. So I don't think so. I think Trump is going to be viewed as the outsider, just like you said. You're here for 4 or 8 years, and you're the outsider. We're the guys that make this stuff run when you're here and when you're not here. So you're going to do it our way or the highway. And I don't think it would have mattered who he had there. They were still going to view him as the outsider who says, I'm going to drain the swamp, which means some of these people's jobs are going to go away.
But shouldn't you have had somebody, though, that is there who could say, just kind of nod the head, no, we don't do that here. No, this is going to bite you in the ass. Because yeah. I think that's what he's missing, is somebody inside of the room when some of these things are going on. And not somebody that's like Jared Kushner or any of these. I mean, somebody, Steve Bannon, who I think Bannon has his own agenda, and it's eventually to rule the world in his crazy alt-right weirdness. Shouldn't you have somebody there that's willing to say, no.
I would suspect that they do, and maybe that's just something, you know, it's Trump. Again, you're talking earlier about Trump listening to other people. And I'm not sure that maybe that he has been told that many times. Because remember, when Trump started doing better throughout, you saw these cycles in the election where he would kind of, you know, we'd have a lull in the ratings. And that's when Trump would go off, you know, go off message, go off teleprompter and be Trump. The crowds liked it, but, you know, he would lose votes. And then they'd get him back on message. He'd bring in a new campaign manager because he went through them like, you know, Sherman went through Georgia. And he kept going through them. And then they would get him back on message for a while, and then he would do a lot better in the polls. So I don't know. I'm assuming that there are people, though, that were telling him that. But that's part of what Trump is. Trump isn't an insider. I don't care that's the way we're going to the way they do it. I don't want to do it that way. And we're going to make changes, and we're going to drain the swamp and do it differently.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. You know, you talk about draining swamp and changing it. Trump's trying to change something that is archaic. The rules are confusing. He probably doesn't know half of the stuff that goes on. What is reconciliation? What is this? What's that? And he even said so. A lot of this stuff is archaic and weird. I mean, guys go to the NFL and they don't. Last year, I saw two guys in the NFL who let punts, and I mean, didn't let punts, but let kickoffs go into the end zone like they do in college, and they ran away from them, and two teams recovered them. So you don't always know all the rules, and these are the most confusing of all rules.
And remember, there's also you've got that. You've also got the House. It's got rules that are very distinct from the Senate, and people that get elected to the Senate don't necessarily know the rules right away when they get there because they're different than the way the House rules. And the old joke in Washington is when some guy got elected to the Senate, and he goes, okay, and he's hanging out with his fellow Republicans, let's say, and he goes, okay, how are we going to take on our enemy, the Democrats? And you look at him and go, Democrats aren't the enemy, the House is the enemy. I mean, even the two houses fight amongst themselves.
Yeah.
So there's so many different factions there. And there's the bureaucrats that are entrenched in what they call the deep state, the people, like you said, that live there, whose jobs depend on this, and they certainly don't want their jobs going away. So they're going to do everything they can to make sure that Trump doesn't do what he wants to do and drain the swamp.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. He's going to be with us through another segment. Yay for Jim! The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You could email us to check it out. You could also go there, right, and grab the podcast absolutely free. It makes a great gift. ChadBensonShow.com, simple and easy. It's Chad Benson Show.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 sucks and 10 rocks, welcome to Talk Radio's 11. It's the Chad Benson Show.
These go to 11.
They do. They go to 11. That's crazy. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. So, Jim Kennedy's in here. Kennedy Institute Public Policy Research. Bah. Trump. Washington all this week, you know, it's been kind of quiet. It's been a very quiet week, all things considered. What do you think he's learned from the failure to get through the first of what was supposed to be a lot of what these people, you know, were hoping and praying for, this, you know, the change of healthcare? What do you think? Did he learn anything?
I'd like to hope that I like to think that he did. I know that they're going back to the conservative caucus, even though Trump was bashing on them earlier this week, and trying to get some input from them on what they would take for them to back a new health bill. So I know they're trying to work on that. The taxes, I think they're looking a little bit at taxes too, at tax reform also. But I think he learned that this is going to be a lot easier or a lot more difficult than he thought. And though I'm sure people probably tried to tell him it was going to be more difficult, but this kind of really brings it home on how tough it is. And I don't know if that was a reflection on why he brought Ivanka in or not, because he needs that extra support and that extra sounding board or that extra sanity check. I'm sure she's the one that probably keeps him on message and off the tweeter machine as much as she possibly can.
The Twitter machine. Is that going to become a bigger issue?
I don't think so. I mean, because he's going to get his word out there one way or another. It's just that he uses Twitter to do it. Other presidents use their spokespersons, like, you know, Sean Spicer there. I think he's a little bit different, the fact that he engages much more in social media and the direct Twittering and the tweeting than Obama did and than other presidents did. So, but he uses social media. It's been, for the most part, been fairly effective for him. Yeah, he's had some blunders with it, but he still seems to come out okay, and his supporters still love him.
Yeah, that, you know what? His supporters do. Trump's supporters absolutely 110% love him big time. Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. We switched from Trump to Paul Ryan failed. The Republicans are looking at this, and they kind of failed because this was all about repeal, replace, and it didn't get done. And, you know, 2018 comes a lot quicker than people think. What do they do and where do they go from here?
Well, I think they're going to try again. I think they're going to regroup. And as I said, they were talking to the conservative coalition again, the conservative caucus, excuse me. And I believe they're looking for two more mandates to be repealed in a bill and in an additional legislation in that first repeal bill. And that would seem to make them a little bit happier. Part of their complaints were there weren't enough of the mandate. I guess there are 12 different mandates in the ACA. And they wanted at least four of them pulled, and they were only going to pull two of them in the first bill. So if they can get those, that might make them happy, and maybe enough to kind of push us over the finish line. Though two more bills is going to be problematic because this is going to go nowhere in the Senate. It is a non-starter. Chuck Schumer will fight to the death that this does not get repealed in the Senate. So, you know, right now it's a little bit problematic for the Republicans.
Speaking of Schumer, he's been honest. He's been as honest as a politician can be, and he is not going to let this dog lie. He is going to do all he can next week as far as Gorsuch goes and holding up any opportunity for there to be a vote. Is this going to be the early nuclear option that, by the way, they did first? So, you know, turnabout's fair play.
Nope. Thank you, Harry Reid, by the way. Hope you're enjoying your retirement in Nevada with your $10 million net income, which, curious how you came up with that, but that's a different topic for a different show. But yeah, no, I think I don't care, other than Chuck Schumer actually having a nuclear weapon on him, that's about the only way he's going to delay a vote, because the math simply doesn't add up for him. It's a done deal, and it's going to happen one way or another, and the Republicans are going to make darn sure that it does.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. As we move forward here, new week is getting ready to crop up. Taxes, 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 reform, reform, reform when it comes to all of these regulations. That has to be next. Again, you get 3.5%, 4% GDP. You get some growth. People feel happy. They got more money in their pocket. All the other stuff aside, people will still give you a second shot. And he's got to now focus on that. But he hung so much out there. We can't do real tax reform without this. So what does he do?
Well, one of the things they can do is a corporate repatriation bill. Because of the current tax laws, there's about $800 billion to $1 trillion in income sitting out there, in cash sitting out there in foreign bank accounts that companies like Apple, Google, Cisco can't bring home right now. Oracle can't bring home because of the tax laws. So it just sits out there because they've passed it through tax loopholes in Europe and Ireland and the Isle of Man. So if they could find a way to repatriate that at a lower rate, say, okay, we'll make you a deal. Corporate rate's 35. We'll charge you 15% on it. Bring it back, put it to work, and you've got to put, you know, 15% of it into corporate investment or into expansion of plant and equipment in the U.S. So 15% of $1 trillion would bring $150 billion back into the coffers. It could be the first down payment on Trump's infrastructure plan. Tie those together, you could have a nice little bill that would kind of maybe get some Democrats on board.
Really, ever? Though that, you know, that you... Now, was it Joe Manchin, I guess, is going to vote for Gorsuch? He
and,
said is going to vote for him.
Two Democrats are up for re-election in next year in states that Trump won.
In states that Trump won. This is the game people play, right? Like, what we remember last year, was it the pipeline? Who was the one in Louisiana who was like, I'm all for the pipeline, when she realized she was so far behind, and, you know, people in Louisiana were for it. And so, you know, it's so transparent. But will Democrats be seen to work with him, or will this insanity of the way that we lived, as far as our divisiveness goes, cause no Democrats to get involved?
Depends upon who you're talking, House and Senate. House, I could see some, especially in districts that are toss-ups. Again, elections coming up next year. If you're talking about an infrastructure bill, yeah, because that's something that they can take back to their voters. They can get union jobs involved. That would be something that ties into, you know, what they think of as good Democratic principles. In the Senate, different story. You're going to have people like Manchin and Heitkamp and about 8 or 9 other senators that are in red states, that or states that have become red courtesy of Trump, that are up for re-election. And if there's a problem getting an infrastructure bill passed, they may be swing votes and getting it done.
Absolutely crazy, as always, politics. The insight that is the wisdom of our man, Jim Kennedy. At Righty Jim is where you check him out on the old tweeter machine and tweeting out a storm, as Righty Jim does. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook. At Chad Benson Show, Twitter. ChadBenson. Love when you do that. Remember, go to ChadBensonShow.com. Did you put Errol Flynn up there, or did you put Mike Flynn? Oh, man. Should have put Errol Flynn. Nobody's going to know the difference. If Errol Flynn walked in here, we would only know because the skin would be dripping off him because he's dead. Nobody knows who these people are. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
That's me. We're talking about Errol Flynn. There's a famous story about Errol Flynn. I think he died. If you don't know who Errol Flynn is, by the way, he was Leonardo DiCaprio long before Leo was Leonardo DiCaprio. He died. And before anybody knew he was dead, they kidnapped him. Hell of a party. Little weekend at Bernie's before Bernie's, I think it was. I think it's the way it worked. It's kind of just, the whole thing was weird. He was, he partied hard, he played hard, and he dated young. Definitely. No relation to Michael Flynn. Probably more fun to hang out with than Michael Flynn. Probably a little bit more. But both of them would be seeking immunity, that I'm sure. The debauchery that those guys got away with back in the day. And it was debauchery, too. Like the old the old school movie stars, man, the debauchery, the Charlie Chaplins, the Fatty Arbuckles. You read their stories and you're like, what? Who was the guy who was on Hogan's Hero? Bob Crane. That guy was nuts. He was extra special nuts and weird. Kinky, all into voyeur. It's just crazy. Man, they got away with... You could never do that nowadays. It's just... It can't happen. Just doesn't. No way. Not happening. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Sanctuary cities. Always a fun topic. Katie Couric did a little expose about sanctuary cities. You know, again, the fight is on between this president and this administration and sanctuary cities. Jeff Sessions came out. It's like, you know what? It's ridiculous. You know, you guys, we're not going to send you guys any more money if you're not going to follow the law. And like I said yesterday, right? It's a federal law. These are local, state, and city cops. Okay. But they show up at a bank robbery. That's a federal crime. Well, it's different. Okay. Again, you're families. And this, I don't want to hear it. You know, maybe the guy robbing the bank's got a family. Right? Could you imagine that? If they catch somebody robbing a bank and then they turn them loose so the feds don't get him? Oh, Chad, you're being ridiculous. Katie, take it away.
While they're known as sanctuary cities, that really just means safe places for undocumented immigrants to be. This church in Tucson, Arizona really started the trend in the 1980s when it opened its doors for people fleeing civil wars in Central America. Now, according to the Center for Immigration Studies, there are more than 200 sanctuaries. Cities like New York, Chicago, Seattle, and San Francisco, or entire states like California, Connecticut, New Mexico, and Colorado.
Lots of sanctuaries, lots of cities, lots of places hiding people that are here illegally. Again, tugs at your heartstrings. That's what happens. Tugs at your heartstrings. This president, this administration has promised us it's going to be different. The rhetoric was loud. We're building a wall. And I got a great story about the wall coming up, about Jack and I. Great story. But it is frustrating, right? Again, it's a federal thing. I get it. I get a federal thing to a certain extent. But you're not here legally.
The Trump administration is putting these states and cities on notice. The Department of Justice is ready to cut billions for those they determine are not complying with federal immigration laws.
Such policies make their cities and states less safe. Public safety, as well as national security, are at stake and put them at risk of losing federal dollars.
Which they don't seem to care about. They're going to test this. They're going to test this. Look, there are bad people out there who do bad things. They come here. They're not here for the right reasons. They're running and escaping from some other place that they have caused pain and mayhem and here to commit crimes and to do, you know. I mean, let's not pretend, okay? Enough with the no diversity and enough of that. There are people here. Not all of them. Good portion of them are here. Right reasons, you know. As far as they're looking for work, they want to add, you know, they want to make some money, want to send home to their families. They're just trying to survive. That's the empathy side we can all take. But we also have to understand that we have a law. We have a house.
Critics argue these policies get in the way of enforcing federal immigration laws, tap community resources that could be used by legal citizens, and protect alleged criminals. Like 45-year-old Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez, who is accused of murdering 32-year-old Kate Steinle when she was walking with her father on Pier 14 in San Francisco a year and a half ago. Lopez Sanchez had committed several felonies and had been deported five times. Kate Steinle's death became a lightning rod for the national immigration debate.
And it's a debate. And the debate is real. I had a conversation with Jack the other day. Wednesday morning, we were driving. And there was something playing on the radio. And it was about Trump. And he says, Daddy, we don't like Trump. And I said, well, why don't we like Trump? Because he's going to build a wall. And he said this over and over again. It's not the first time we've talked about this. He said this over and over again. And again, you're trying to reason with a 6 2/3, right? Because that's what he is now. And it is important for those of you who don't keep score that 2/3 is uber important. But as I was talking to Jack, I said, all right, Jack, let me explain it to you this way. Because, see, his best friend is of Mexican origin. And mother and father both born here. They're like second, third generation. He's like fourth generation. They're not going anywhere. But you have a house in Mexico. Live down in San Diego. Have family there. And he's like, they're going to build a wall. And my friend's never going to be able to come back. I said, Jack, that's not true. He says, well, why would they want to build a wall and keep people out? I said, because we have our own country. He goes, but I don't understand, Dad. That's not very nice. I said, well, Jack, let me tell you this. You and your mom go out, right? And you go out and you shop and you do all the stuff that you do during the day. And you come home and there's somebody inside your house. And they're eating your food. And they're watching your TV. And they say they're going to stay there. He goes, well, who are they? I don't know. Well, that's not very nice. That shouldn't be in our house. Well, I said, Jack, America is our house. And these people have come over here. And they're here now. So, what do we do? He goes, well, I don't want those people in my house. I don't know who those people are. I said, that's it? He goes, so you're saying that America's our house and these people are going to come here? And I said, yeah. I said, look, Jack, they may knock on the door and we may say, you know what? Come on in. And that's fine. We may invite them over before they even knock on the door. That's fine. What we don't want them to do is come into our house uninvited. And America's our house. And he's like, I didn't know that. I said, yeah. And then he talked about G.I. Joe, because that's what you do when you're 6 2/3. It's simple. You keep it simple, stupid. I don't buy the line that I see all the time. I saw somebody last night was on with Tucker Carlson talking about sanctuary cities, and if we don't have them, these people aren't going to go to the police if there's a crime. Let me tell you something. If there's a crime, and it's MS-13, it's a gangster, it's somebody who, if there's a crime, those people aren't going, if they're legal, to the cops for fear of retribution. People don't talk. Well, what if they're this and what if they're that? People aren't. I just don't think people, they're not afraid. They're not stupid. Are they a little bit more worried than they were 6 months ago? Yes. But are they terrified? I don't know. I drove by my Home Depot in the U-Haul place today and I didn't see a lot of people that were terrified. Because they realize you ship me home, we're probably going to come right back. That's it. But this is the excuse people get. Well, if we don't have sanctuary cities and there's crime, this is what's going to happen. Well, how about this? If we send everybody home then, well, we can't do that. That's mean. It's a debate we're going to have. And in 4 years, the wall will be 2/3 finished or 1/3 finished. We'll still be having a debate. 8 years, we'll still be having a debate. New president, still be having a debate. Because nobody's serious about taking this on. Zero. Zilch. But when you explain it like I did to Jack, kind of makes sense. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Always text the program all the time. Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, nighttime, daytime, 24-7, 323-538, 2423. Hey, if you're hiring, if you're looking, right? You're like, I got to get somebody to come in here and help me. And you put an ad out in one of those little weekly things or a couple websites there, and you get the same old same each and every time. You get somebody, hire them, they're there 45 days, and you're like, oh, this person's horrible. What do I do? Well, cast a bigger net. Simple and easy. ZipRecruiter.com will help you cast a bigger net. Instead of those one or two places you put, how about 200 plus job sites, including social media sites like Facebook, like Twitter, all with a click, single click, not five clicks, just a click. Boom, away it goes. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what industry, nationwide. Boom. They got the right candidate for you. The right candidate for you. And they've got this great interface that's going to help you screen and rate these soon-to-be new employees so you can hire the right one fast. Saves you time, saves you money. Find out today why ZipRecruiter's been used by Fortune 100 companies, thousands of small and medium-sized businesses like yours. And right now, you guys, listeners of The Chad Benson Show, post your job for free. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. ZipRecruiter.com/report. Post your job for free today. ZipRecruiter.com/report. Wrap it up. Straight ahead, Chad Benson, sure.
Fresh, farm to table. This is the Chad Benson Show.
I bet somebody's working on that farm that's not here legally. I'm just making it funny. Everybody calm down. 844-DIG-CHAD. Sanctuary City's always something people want to talk about. Francis, Texas. Thanks so much for holding on, Francis.
Mr. Benson, thank you. I thoroughly enjoy your program as a new listener here. Hey, look, if I'm down here on the border. It's where I live. If I was sheltering a number of people here who are illegals, I'm subject to prosecution under federal law. I would believe it's a felony somewhere along the way. Why not go after the mayors, the police chiefs, the cops, the firemen, the bus drivers, and Francis for doing that and penalize them accordingly? That stops one piece of it. One other item, a plebiscite in Mexico and Central America, everybody over age 18, would they like to live under the American flag where they are with our Constitution, Bill of Rights, minimum wage, protection of workers, and will annihilate the criminals by using the army and see if they get a little more response out of their own governments out of that. You know, kind of a wake-up call.
Oh, I agree. I appreciate your call, Francis. Thanks for holding. And you know what? He's right. Let me tell you, for all of the stuff we talk about immigration, we never point fingers enough back to the fact that their countries that they come from are failed states who provide nothing to the average and rural individual that live in these countries. And yeah, it's great if you live in Mexico City, but if not, woo. Right? Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, list goes on and on. You have failed your people. Rick and Indy, what's happening?
Hey, Chad, how are you? The last caller basically said what I was going to say, so I'm just going to say to you, our Hammer and Nigel did a fine job filling in for you. The only thing that would have made their show better is if they would have ended it with Night Night, Jack. You're a good dad.
Yes. Oh, man, I appreciate that, Rick. Thanks so very much. And, yes, they did a great job filling in, and I want to appreciate them filling in for these 3 days. Usually you don't get fill-ins, like, for a day or two, you know. You get, like, five in a week. Right? You know, you'll get one on a Monday and you're like, it's not so bad. And then on Tuesday, you're like, ugh. And then Wednesday, you get a new one. And then Thursday, the Monday one comes back and you're like, oh, it's not so bad. And then Tuesday, it's the best, or Friday, it's the best stuff. But they were kind enough to fill in and they did a fine job. So check out them. I think they're at Hammer and Nigel. I call them Nails. I don't know why I did the other day. It's Hammer and Nails because you just think Hammer and Nails, right? But, yeah, you can check them out on Facebook, and they're out there at Indy at WIBC. Great guys, and I appreciate them filling in. You know, somebody just texted me and said, hey, do you actually use the stuff that you talk about, like the ZipRecruiters and the Gold Co.? And so I said, you know what? I do. They go, well, because I hear a lot of others. I said, let me tell you something. I said, unlike other hosts, I, like, really, you got to see some of the crap I turned down. Like, I turned down, we just had the Chad Benson Show Summit, as we joke about here a couple weeks ago, about a month or so ago. Guys from Radio America and everybody came out here and we all hung out for the, you know, a day and a half, and we, you know, did some work and we did some stuff, and it was great. It was fun. Some of the stuff that they talk about and they pitch, and I'm just like, that's not who you guys are. Because if I don't believe in it, I won't sell it. Like, everybody's got a price. Yeah, but everybody's have a price. I'm not going to lie to you there. We all have a price. Somebody's offering you, I don't care how bad a product is, if they roll into me today and say it's $1 million for you, I'm selling you that product. But they're not. And, like, I use the stuff, whether it was the Super Beats or the, you know, ZipRecruiters or the Simply Safe or any of that. I use all that stuff. Flowers. Cherries, berries. I use all that stuff, and it's great. But I do get pitched a lot of stuff. I'm just like, I won't touch that. That's not who you guys are. It's not who I am. Sometimes I'm like, do you even listen? Like, do you have any idea? Oh, man. What a solid five. Man, we got to figure this out, Producer Phil. How do we get these two-day work weeks?
I don't know, like, but I'm all on board with it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out. I mean, like, it's... I don't know. What do we do? It's like, is it like the fight for 15? Do we have to go complain to somebody? Because that would be it. Yeah, I need a lobby. We need a two-day-a-week lobbyist. but he's only working 2 days or she's only working 2 days. So we're all just working 2 days. Just putting it all out there. Solid, fun week. Again, thanks to Nigel and Hammer for filling in on from WIBC. Appreciate that big time. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. You can text the program always. Love it when you do. 323-538-2423. Check out our website, chadbensonshow.com. We have all kinds of goodies and fun stuff on there, including the podcast, which you can take anywhere you want to go. You take that podcast. It travels with you. You want to go on a plane somewhere? Take it with you. You want fun and entertainment and frivolity? Take it with you. Please, please do. And once again, it was our 2-year anniversary that we've been doing this Dog and Pony Show. I want to thank Radio America. I want to thank for Phil and Anthony and John and all the people that have been here. I want to thank you guys for giving us the time to come into your airwaves day in, day out. We really appreciate that. Have yourself a wonderful, safe weekend. We'll be back Monday doing it strong. As always, night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.